Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. Radio News and Talk. We are 1380 WAOK. Our PowerPoint for today, I speak of peace, therefore, as the necessary rational end of rational people. I realize that the pursuit of peace is not as dramatic as the pursuit of war, but we have a task before us to not only pursue peace from within, but to pursue peace for and within others. Hey, walk in peace today. We're so glad to have sharing with us today, Dr. Nichelle Guthrie. Hi, good morning. Welcome to On Point. How are you?
Good morning, Rosalyn. I'm very well. How are you?
I am very well. We are so glad to have you sharing with us today.
I'm so glad to be here. And I really appreciate this energy that you have in the room this morning. You had the Jeanne going and the vibe right. This is what we need right now.
That's right. You're so right. We need it. And thank you so much. Dr. Nichelle, she's a scholar and a millennial minister, and she currently serves as the Dean of Sisters Chapel and Director of the Wisdom Center at the historic Spelman College, and we're just so glad to have you sharing with us today. I want you to talk to us, first of all, why your heart is so connected to millennials.
Well, as a millennial myself, I think, you know, it's just kind of germane to me to, you know, have an interest and a concern with, you know, the state of the world as it pertains to myself and my peers. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking a lot over the last 8 to 10 years about the millennial generation as the tipping point generation. Specifically when I think about the practice of religion in the United States and indeed the world, the millennial generation really was that turning point generation that had the nerve and the courage to call a lot of our religious institutions to carpet on the disconnect between its claims and how it showed up in a lot of people's lives and in a lot of communities. And even, you know, in 2013 and then again in 2014 and then 2017, when, you know, we saw these sort of political racialized uprisings, millennials were at the helm of those movements as well. And so a lot has to be said about how the millennial generation kind of positioned ourselves as the buck stops here generation. We have been the generation to call a lot of our institutions and a lot of our leaders to the carpet. You know, you say one thing, but you do something different. And I think that as a generation, our commitment, you know, has been, you know, we're doing something different as we're moving forward. And so, I mean, that kind of energy and that kind of work is the work of our heart as a generation.
What do you feel, Dr. Nichelle, you work with millennials, what do you feel that other generations are not hearing and understanding about millennials? What are the other generations missing?
You know, it's an interesting question because as a millennial, you know, the millennials are not the youngest in the room anymore. You know, we have Generation Z coming up, and I actually, you know, on the college, on the campus, I work with Generation Z. And so it's very, very fascinating to me to, on a daily basis, kind of feel what the generations before the millennials were saying about us. Like, I just don't know what you're thinking. And, I remember for a good half of my 20s, I was working in a really big church on the south side of Chicago that had an amazing elder presence. And they would often ask me, you know, tell me about the millenniums, Rev. Tell me about the millenniums. And there was genuinely a sense of, we're just not sure how to connect, you know? And so I think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, statistics and facts and figures, but I think what would be most helpful to talk about across generational lines is how to connect intergenerationally. You know, mm-hmm. We're in a moment of uprising, and as impassioned as the millennials, and God bless Generation Z, you know, who, you know, are really putting their bodies on the line, as impassioned as we can be, we need the wisdom of our elders who have lived through this and who have worked through similar situations in this country. And I fear, and I definitely feared this in, you know, post Michael Brown, you know, I feared that, you know, we were putting ourselves in a vacuum as a generation. We weren't really here for the wisdom of the elders. And so I'm praying that as this new iteration of the movement for Black Lives unfolds, that we sit at the feet of our elders, that we take, you know, the plays from their playbook that work and ask questions about the ones that don't, you know. Something that they did was effective. You know, many things they did were effective. We might not replicate those models now, but Wandalyn, we need that wisdom to keep us grounded. And we most certainly need their prayers to keep us covered.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I listen to our elders and I hear the cries of the millennials and Generation Z, and it's like they're still both talking separately, but that disconnect is so real. And the challenge is, how do we get these two to connect, or these three multi-generational to connect? That's the biggest challenge.
I mean, I think that, you know, one thing that I'm hopeful for in this next, you know, as the movement is unfolding, you know, and this is kind of the way that uprisings happen, you know.
Yeah.
On one hand, you have to be doing the work of the protest, but then you also have to be doing the work of the healing at the
same time,
because God knows it is death dealing to be, you know, protesting and politicking day in and day out with no, you know, spiritual care, you know.
Exactly.
I think that that is an amazing space where we can think very intentionally and very mindfully about, you know, incorporating the wisdom of our elders, you know. And it might just be the way I was raised. You know, I'm a Southern girl. But,
Hold on a second, Dr. Nichelle. Let me get that when we come back from this break.
Okay.
We're speaking with Dr. Nichelle, who is currently serves as the Dean of Sisters Chapel there at Spelman College. More to come is On Point with Wandalyn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. Good morning. It's a wonderful Wednesday. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. Dr. Nichelle is sharing with us. She's a scholar and millennial minister, currently serving as a dean of Sisters Chapel and director of the Wisdom Center there at the historic Spelman College. Dr. Nichelle, what are your thoughts and position on the protests and uprising that our nation is experiencing?
You know, I think that this was inevitable. This is we're finding ourselves in a turning point, a critical moment where, you know, the fire has been, you know, turned up beneath the pot of racism and is boiling over, you know. And I think, you know, the image of Brother George Floyd being basically asphyxiated to death by that police officer in Minneapolis, you know, that had an effect, most certainly in our community, but over the last several days, we see that that struck a chord globally. And the entire world is demanding an answer of why has this been allowed to go on this long? And, you know, when you get tired of asking the same question over and over again, you know, your next course of action might be, well, let me try to get an answer another way. And so what we're seeing happening right now is people who, you know, even in the peaceful acts of protest, even a peaceful act of protest, such as a die-in or a march from one place to another or a petition, like even these acts are ways that people are expressing, you know, in the words of our dear elder, you know, Sister Fannie Lou Hamer, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, and there's a point of exhaustion that, that people are experiencing with, you know, unprincipled elected leaders, unprincipled systems of injustice. And this is what's happening right now. We've reached a boiling point.
404-892-2703. Join the conversation with Dr. Nichelle. What were your thoughts when you realized what happened in Brunswick with Ahmaud Arbery and even Breonna Taylor? What were your thoughts regarding that? And what were the overall thoughts of the millennials that you've spoken with and talked with?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, you know, at that point, we've, you know, in the last 5 years, we've lived through hashtag after hashtag. And so it's really interesting to have gotten to this point and gotten generally my sense of my own spirit and in my community and my peer circles of there's really nothing left to say that hasn't been said. There's not a feeling of disgust that we haven't already felt and tried to express. You know, it's an interesting time, you know, to be going through this because we have just a few options. You either rise up, whatever way that is. I don't condone violence, and I don't think that a lot of this violence is happening by our hands. And I think that that's a conversation that we need to have. Whether it's making phone calls, whether it's raising awareness in your own homes and communities, you know, you either do that or you become numb to it. You become desensitized. You put your head in the sand because, you know, it hurts too much to watch another video. It hurts too much to type another hashtag in solidarity of someone whose name, you know, that was someone's name. And you know how Black folks are. We don't have 10 degrees of separation, you know.
Right.
You know, that was somebody's cousin, you know, that, you know, inevitably means that that's my kinfolk as well. And so how do you turn your face away when we are so deeply interconnected as Black people? And so I think that what's happening right now is an expression of the anguish, the pain that our communities have felt from being disinherited in this country. That's what's happening now.
Very well said. The statement that was put out by Spelman regarding the two students tased and assaulted by police a I'd love to hear your commentary on that.
I thought that our president made a brilliant statement. In her latest statement, she actually amplified the voice of our student who had that experience. She amplified her voice, and you know, the sister called for more accountability, you know, for those officers. And I stand beside that statement. I stand beside our students. You know, and, you know, honestly, you know, those two students, those two Atlanta University Center students are have had their experience, but they represent so many other African-American youth who feel invisible, who feel ignored, who feel any kind of way and experience trauma and experience a consequence for just wanting to, you know, have their say, you know, and, you know, as the story has come out, you know, these two students were trying to get out of the protest. They were trying to mind the curfew. They didn't do anything wrong. And so they also represent those people who have been criminalized and indeed victimized, having done nothing wrong. And so I stand beside our statement, the statement that the college has put out, calling for accountability and supporting our students.
How do you think how do we keep this from happening again? You know, the protests continuing, our students are out there on the front line. Mm-hmm. How do we keep this from happening again? Is that even possible?
Ooh, that's a big question. And maybe one day, Sister Wandling, you'll consider doing a whole roundtable conversation, because I think that is going to take sort of an all hands on deck approach to completely sort of dismantling and disrupting the criminal justice system as it currently exists, and our culture of, you know, state-sanctioned anti-Black violence. You know, it's going to take a holistic approach of raising awareness and education. It's going to take, of course, lobbying and policy transformation. It's going to take structures of holding not only individual officers and
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Departments, but police unions accountable, not only for acts of violence, but for acts of protecting and retaining rogue police officers. You know, so it's also going to take the clergy. I'm going to be honest.
And this, yes,
is why, and this is why I feel like, you know, African-American spirituality has been one of the primary means that we have made it over. if we haven't had something to hope in, if we haven't had something to have faith in, if we haven't believed that there is a God who is on our side, in the words of our beloved ancestor, Dr. James Cone, who declared that God is on the side of the oppressed. If
right.
we didn't have that faith to hold us and to keep us and to sustain us, we would not be here. And I don't care if you go to the Black church on the corner, if you go to the mosque, if you go to the temple, whatever iteration of Black religion you have practiced in this country has been a source not only of inspiration and healing, but a source of sustenance to us. And so it's hard for me to imagine a movement that does not incorporate Black spirit, Black faith, the articulation of what we believe, and the articulation that even the heavens are on our side, and mm-hmm. our ancestors are on our side. And so, I think it's just going to have to be one of those all-around holistic approaches.
Yes, I certainly agree with you. Dr. Nichelle is sharing with us today. She's a scholar and a millennial minister, currently serving as a dean of Sisters Chapel and director of the Wisdom Center there at Spelman College. Also, she is the creator of She Preaches. It's a virtual community and professional development organization that aspires to uplift African-American millennial women in ministry through theological reflection, fellowship, and liturgical curation. Now, I want to ask mm-hmm. you, when we come back, mm-hmm. number 45, Donald Trump mm-hmm. held a press conference in front of a church holding a Bible, and he stated, mm-hmm. I am your president of mm-hmm. law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters.
Lord,
how does this contradict his recent actions and tweets? And should we trust the faith he tried to portray? We'll talk about that when we come back. It is On Point with Wandalyn Stokes, right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's a wonderful Wednesday right here at On Point with Wandalyn Stokes, your friend and sister girl, Dr. Nichelle, Dean of Sisters Chapel there at Spelman College. What are your thoughts on the press conference with President Donald Trump holding a Bible and standing in front of the church?
That was a lot. What I will say is on the night of, I was afraid. I was afraid. Not only in his speech at the White House did he say outright, "I am willing to deploy our all powerful military against American citizens."
Yes.
But then, as the story goes, he actually utilized that force to create that photo op in front of that church against people who were protesting. He also evoked the Second Amendment, but you know, in that same Constitution, those who wrote that document did grant American citizens the right to peacefully gather and to protest. And it was just interesting to me to see that image of to see that image of the president holding up the Bible. It's a sacred text to most people, to many people in this country who are Christians. And my understanding is that he utilized that photo to sort of solidify the moral ground that he thinks he's standing on to exert this force.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest. As I've sat with this over the last few days, it makes all the sense in the world, because since he was campaigning back in 2015, early 2016, he utilized the tropes of Christianity to justify a lot of his positions. And as a theologian, I can see how a lot of Christian principles, particularly the evangelical and conservative fundamentalist principles, do support his stances. Because
mm-hmm.
that same Christianity has been used That same, I'm going to just say it, that same white supremacist Christianity has been used not only to import black bodies into this country and into diaspora, but that mm-hmm. same Christianity has been used to justify 400 years of chapter after chapter after chapter of dehumanization and oppression, not only of black people, but of people of color, of women, now of our LGBTQIA kindred. And so that picture makes all the sense in the world because he's been utilizing his religion, and that Christianity is not the Christianity of black people, of prophetic black people, because we also mm-hmm. have to have that conversation. But it makes all the sense in the world now that we, you know, have had some time to sit with this and to process it. But I do know my initial response was of fear. You know, he evoked the imagery, he evoked the iconography of past demagogues who have done extreme acts of dehumanization, including Hitler, including Stalin, who also used their religious beliefs to justify their evil deeds in the world. And so we see the heritage that he's aligning himself with. We see how he is utilizing his religious beliefs to continue to do the same kind of white supremacist evil that has been done in this country since its founding.
So it made you reflect back with church history and how even the base of the origin of Christianity evolved mm-hmm. and back with the Quakers and all of that, when you saw the white supremacy in there as they would begin to carve out this Protestant movement historically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's
amazing.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
I mean, and even if you're thinking about the origins of the black church,
you know,
the origins of the black church didn't have anything to do with institutionalization. It didn't have anything to do with these buildings. The origins of the black church were, you know, what Dr. Albert Rabiteau called the invisible institution.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of, you know, hush harbor meetings that happened when black folks were allowed to get away from their work and away from their labor and steal away to Jesus together.
Right.
And it was in those gatherings that, you know, not only that did we practice a sort of soul satisfying and soul stirring religion, but it was in those gatherings that people also came up with these codes for communicating, you know, in public. You know, the spirituals come out of the black, the origins of the black church. And we know how the spirituals were politicized as a means of communicating. I'm about to get up out of here. You come in or not? You know, and so our religion, black religion, you know, at its origin, at its root, is also a source for our organizing and a source for our liberation. And, you know, I fear that we've gotten away from that type of black religion. But mm-hmm. there's no better time than the present to send Kofa, you know, in the
That's
words
right.
of our West African brothers and sisters, to send Kofa, to look back and go and retrieve it.
That's it. That's it. You said it. You said it. And I love it. How can people stay connected to you in social media, Dr. Nichelle?
Oh, I'd be happy to stay connected. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Nichelle G. And on Facebook at Reverend Nichelle R. Guidry, PhD.
Wow. Thank you so very much. You're so inspiring, so uplifting, and you're doing such a great work there on the campus and also throughout the country. Thank you so much for what you're doing and continue to do it. And you've got sisters that are standing strong with you. All right.
I appreciate you, Sister Wandelin. And you know what, Les? I hope that we can keep the conversation going. I really appreciated our time today.
Yes, we will do. We will do. Thank you so much.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.